Father, we pray. We pray for those announcements. We pray for those that have heard those announcements, those that will hear them later, those that are listening online, those that will listen at another time, but those that are here now, that those announcements would penetrate our hearts and minds and encourage us on how we can be involved in this work. And so, Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you would bless the study of your word this morning on this great topic of perseverance, because we need to persevere in these days that we're living in. Persevere to know Jesus and to make him known. Amen. The word perseverance means steadfastness or persistence, especially the idea of continuing the course in spite of obstacles, in spite of suffering, in spite of hardship, pressing on in spite of the waiting periods that you may have, pressing on in spite of hardships or trials. That's perseverance. And many of you have expressed to me that you're in a season of needing strength to persevere. So I'd like to address that today. The Christian life takes perseverance. And I don't know how anybody else can persevere without being a Christian. Think of it. As a Christian, we're saved out of the world around us, the world's way of thinking, of doing things. And we're transformed. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have a new purpose in life, a new direction in life. We have a new king. We're in a new kingdom. We have a new marching orders. We have a new purpose. There's a new plan for our lives. Our olds are out the window. Everything's new. It used to be self was in charge. The unholy trinity, me, myself, and I'm in charge. I'm the king. Now we have a new king. His name is King Jesus. Right? The world doesn't understand it. So they're going to pressure you and fight you and squeeze you to bow down to their way of life and their idols. And so we need to persevere. We no longer love the things of the world. We just have a distaste. It doesn't taste good anymore. We have a new kingdom. We're part of a new Lord who we serve. And the crazy thing is this is without sight. We can't see it, feel it, touch it. We see, feel, touch the results of it. But it's a life by faith, right? The just shall live by faith, or the justified ones live by faith. We haven't seen him, but we love him. We don't see heaven until we get there, but we know that's our destination, that's our real home. And it takes perseverance. The Christian life in Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy that it's compared to a race, or to being an athlete, to being a soldier, to being a farmer. I don't know how many athletes are here, but an athlete trains and he gives certain things up so that he can train, right? So that he can work out his schedule, his meals. He gives up certain things so he can train. And he wants to win. Maybe he's training for a triathlon. Maybe he's training for a competition in a sport. And so he really sacrifices so that he can train. Well, that's compared to the Christian life. Sometimes you put stuff aside to win the race. The race, the win, is eternal life and knowing Jesus and making him known. That's the goal we press forward toward. But he also says a soldier. A soldier doesn't worry about the things going on around him. He's got a battle to fight. You know, we are in a battle. And so we're likened to soldiers, spiritual soldiers, or a farmer. A farmer plants, sows the seed, waters the seed, fertilizes the seed, and then he prays for rain and hopes that stuff grows. And so it's a beautiful analogy of the Christian life. Same as the soldier. They're praying, they win that battle, that campaign. And so we're pressing on. The blessing about us is we've won the race already. We've won the battle already. Amen? We're going to be in heaven already. And we're going to bear fruit because of him. But all of these guys work diligently, and they don't always know or see the reward. And that's kind of, as a Christian, sometimes we press on. We endure. We persevere. And we don't see the reward necessarily always until heaven. So it's a life of faith. Isn't that hard? We have to persevere in this life and keep pressing on. We have to keep going. And so what I want to talk about is, where do you find the strength to persevere? Where are you going to find it? Hey, what do we do as Americans? We pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. We think positive thoughts, right? Like, that's going to help you. Like, picking yourself up, like, that's really going to help you persevere. See, I mean, these kind of, these cliches that this American dream that we're just gonna do it by our own, you know, the little engine that could. Even from a child, I was taught the little engine, I could do it, I could do it, I could do it, until you crash and burn. Maybe you're like me and I realize I don't have the strength to do this anymore. Where do we find the power and the strength to persevere? It takes more than human ingenuity, intellect, strength. Praise God that this isn't an oversight for him. He thought of everything. And that's what I want to talk about. His strength is available day by day, exactly meeting that need specifically for you, for me, at the right time, at the right place, the right power. It's available day in, day out. His power to persevere. God's perfectly planned it from eternity past for 2018 for you today. A couple of verses I'm going to look at. If you're quick with your Bibles, you can follow along. I made a cheat sheet for you so that you can just flip ahead and follow along, or just listen, or take notes and read them later. It's up to you. If you're a student, you could do that. If you're wanting to study at home, you could do that. Or if you just want to toss it, you could do that too. But they're given to you so that you can engage with the Word of God this morning. But you could dig into the Word while we're out here in public. With all this distraction, sometimes little tips and tricks like that help you stay focused. John 14, it says in our first verse, in context, Jesus was about to leave. He's about to die. He's about to be crucified. He's about to be buried. And then we know the rest of the story. He rises again from the dead. And then he ascends to the Father in heaven. And his people were like, you're leaving us. And so he says this, listen, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, he's been preparing that place for you for a couple thousand years. I bet it's going to be a cool situation in heaven. Ain't nothing like earth, so don't be thinking of a physical mansion anymore. It's out of sight, out of this world, completely. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be grand. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be really the greatest. And he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you also may be there. So he's coming. He's going to get you. Because where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And then skip down to verse 16. Because they're like, oh man, he's leaving. We put all of our eggs in the Jesus basket. We sunk everything into this Savior, this man, King Jesus. Everything. Now he's leaving. Great. What are we going to do now? He says, don't be troubled about it. Look at verse 16. I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. That Greek word, paraclete. Parakaleo. That means comforter, helper, somebody to come alongside, to strengthen. I'm going to send you something, somebody, and it's a person that he might abide with you forever. Who? Verse 17, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive. Only those that are born again, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Because he dwells with you and he will be in you. He's telling them now. But for us today, right now, this moment, that you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. Do you not know you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'll come to you. So that's our history as a church. Long ago, Jesus died, rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven. God sent the Holy Spirit, and now he dwells in us. He's with the world to convict people of sin, righteousness, judgment. People that don't know God, the Holy Spirit right now is working on their hearts. You need Jesus. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction. But he's with them. But when you bow the knee to Jesus Christ, he comes and lives inside of you by the Holy Spirit. And God has perfectly planned all the things that we would need to persevere by sending his Holy Spirit into our lives. We need his power. If you don't have the strength to go on, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's provided it for you. He abides with us forever. He literally dwells in us. He's for you. He's not against you. It makes all the difference in the world. The Holy Spirit is with us and in us, and we are not left alone. So, he said to those early disciples that were troubled, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. It's going to get even better. Holy Spirit's in you. This is how you'll persevere. This is how you'll press on. This is how you'll be a Christian in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. Well, what happens when the Holy Spirit's in your life? Galatians chapter 5, turn there. What happens when the Holy Spirit's in your life? The fruit of the Spirit develops. He's the Spirit. He develops fruit in your life. What are you? You're a branch. What happens if you cut the branch off the vine? What does it do? It dies. But if you're connected to the vine, what happens to the branch? It produces fruit. What kind of fruit? It's right here. Look at Galatians 5:22. Love it. This is what happens in your life. Isn't this great? So you're not alone to do Christian life by yourself. The Holy Spirit's in you. God's going to work and cause you to persevere. Yield to Him. You don't. It isn't like when I go to the orchards in Paonia, where the camp is near the orchards in Paonia, cherries, peaches, apples, pears, grape growing vines. And I pull over and I read John 15 about the branches and the vines and the bearing fruit. And I'll read my Bible and I'll be in the orchard. I like doing that kind of stuff in the vineyard. I like reading the Bible in the midst of, it just comes to life. And I talk to God about it. Try it sometime. Pull over to a vineyard by yourself, open your Bible and read John 15. And you know, I'm listening. Are those branches groaning to produce grapes? You listen real carefully. They're like, I've got to produce a grape. No. The life flows through the vine, out the branch. Grapes happen. Isn't that beautiful? That's us. That's the picture Jesus said of us. And he says this. The daily power you need is by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Can you produce love? Fake love, sugar love, sugary sweet candy love that ain't much, has no substance, it's sticky and it... Real love? What's real love? It's when you can love the unlovable, when you can love an enemy, when you can love when it's not convenient. That's love. That's the only kind of love. It's God love, unconditional. It's not conditioned on the lovability of the object, right? Isn't it easy to love somebody that loves you? That just makes sense. That's pragmatism. How about loving somebody can never give you anything back? Loving those that are disrespectful or mean to you. That's supernatural love, the fruit of the Spirit. And listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's defined by this. It's joy. Joy has, in the New Testament, has its root word in the Old Testament, meaning to rejoice. Woohoo! That's love. It's like, that's joy. Is that in your heart? You jump up and spin around in your heart. That's joy. Is it bubbling out? You can't produce that. You can't manufacture. You can't fake that. That's got to be not contingent upon circumstances surrounding you. It's just, I got joy. It is well with my soul, but everything's falling apart. That's produced by the Holy Spirit. Now, when He produces that in your heart, can you persevere? Woo! I need it. You need it. We need it. I thank God for the work and dynamic and power of the Holy Spirit. Not only joy, but peace. Peace that the world doesn't give. Around here, peace is fake and false, and it's, feel the peace, man. That ain't peace. That lasts for a little bit, and then it wears off. This kind of peace is deep-seated. It's real peace. It's peace that the world cannot give. It's peace that only comes from the abiding, indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. I love it. How do you persevere? The Holy Spirit brings love and joy and peace. Listen to this next one. Are you there with me? Galatians 5:22. What does the Spirit do in your heart and your life? He brings love unconditional. He brings joy, brings peace. Can you unconditionally say, I'm committed to this person, to this situation, because of the love of God? Because I can't do it. I can't be committed. But God, you can. And then He gives joy and peace. And then look at the next one. Long-suffering. I need to persevere, I need to be able to suffer long, suffer through a long time. That's perseverance. And so God supernaturally provides that strength for you to press on. You can't do it. And I know you've tried, and I try. Let God do it. Look at the next one, faithfulness. A work of God to help us press on and persevere. Faithful man, faithful person, faithful woman or man is hard to find. But God is faithful even when we're faithless. Isn't that great? He works in us. God gives you the ability to remain faithful, to carry on day in, day out. How do you live the life as a Christian? Wake up every morning and do Jesus stuff. I'm making it simple for myself. Jeff, I get up in the morning and I'm going to do Jesus stuff today. You know what that is. I know what that is. Just do the right thing. Do God's thing, God's way. Be faithful. He'll give you the power to do it. Faithfulness, continuing in the same direction. Perseverance, it's a long obedience in the same direction. That's how it's been described. Obediently serving the Lord in the same direction for a long time and waiting and not seeing results, but just continuing on in the midst of difficulty, of suffering, of trials. Whatever the need is to persevere, God has provided it. And it's by the power and dynamic and work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He will see you through to a completed end, to maturity, to completion. And I'm going to just read this verse that Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 16, about long-suffering. Jesus showed Paul this, and it's a pattern for all of us that we would be able to suffer long, because we could look at Paul's life. And Paul said, I have obtained mercy that Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering in my life as a pattern to all those who are going to believe in him. And so Paul wrote that just read about his life. And then he said in 1 Timothy 1:18 that I commit this charge to you, my son Timothy. Wage the good warfare and with a good conscience. Some have rejected the faith and suffered shipwreck, but press on, Timothy. And you know, when you serve the Lord in any capacity, whether at home, with your children, with your family, there will be spiritual warfare. We all have ministry. Sometimes it's the job. For most of us, it's the job. Many of us, it's family, home, school. Everybody has a ministry. And sometimes it's at work. And God uses you on the job to be salt, to light, to make disciples at work. But more often than not, you know what God does with the job? He uses it on you. You don't even realize God's using your job to transform you, to make you more like a Christian, to test you. What are you made of? You ain't showing fruit of the Spirit. He already knows it, but he reveals it to you because it comes out and he shows you your need. But then he provides you the remedy. Here, I'll work with you. I just want to show you what's in your heart. So he uses the job to reveal what's really there. Otherwise, you wouldn't know, would you? Everything was going so smooth and perfect and happy in life, you would never know you needed the Holy Spirit to be a Christian and persevere. You would never know. When life is grand and great and glorious and provision is flowing and health is great, I don't need you, God. Like the church of Laodicea, I don't need anything. And he said, no, you're poor, blind, miserable, wretched, naked, and you don't even know it, spiritually speaking. But he reveals that. Why? Not to condemn us, not to kick us down, but to show what's in your heart so you'll seek him. I want this changed in my life, oh Lord. And he says, that's great. I've been waiting for you to ask. Here's the power. Here's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I need today. 1 Timothy, he also continues and he says in chapter 2, therefore I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. I want to lead a quiet, peaceable life. I really do with my family. I don't want all the drama coming in on my family. I want to be quiet, peaceable. I don't want to get involved in that. I need to persevere. And he provides for that too. He's speaking of praying as a remedy for those things. And you know, in secular culture, Christianity, 50% of this culture here hates our lifestyle, hates the Bible, and with venom, we're hated. And it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. Let me just tell you that much. Are you going to persevere? And where are you going to get the strength to remain a Christian in the midst of a generation that has turned? It used to be Christianity was respectable. Not anymore. We've gone secular. And maybe you've noticed it, maybe you haven't. But let me just give you a forward warning. It's coming. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. And we need to pray to persevere in the midst of that, enabling it by the Holy Spirit to live a godly life day in and day out, faithfully working hard on our jobs, providing for our family, being a good, godly Christian man and wife and husband and single adult, student. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a human being, you need the work of the Holy Spirit to persevere. And he'll cause you to persevere. One thing that helps us persevere, I'm gonna jump over those two Proverbs because we're running out of time, and I'm gonna go right to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll grab a drink of water here. I love being outside in the middle of this park. I just tell you, I love it. It is a little bit hard to hear and distracting a bit with all of the activity going along. Anybody that's like full on ADD is kind of like squirrel, car, person. There's a lot of people around. I love it, though. I think it's great. Welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. Don't forget to drink all the rest of that coffee before you leave. Hebrews 12. Are you there? I don't even have a clock, so I'm just going until I'm done with the outline. But I skip two verses. Read those verses because they talk about just wisdom, Proverbs. You know, one thing that we've been doing, I don't say I'm perfect in this, but our family gathers together, we set our alarms, and we're always up, 7 in the morning, and we gather together and we read through the Proverbs of the day. So each day of the week, We read the Proverbs around in a circle, and we pick a proverb, and then we pray over it. And so those are a couple of proverbs that kind of jumped out at me, and I wrote them down for your edification. But you should hear little Sarah pray over Proverbs. It's like, it's so fun to hear your children pray. It's the best thing in the world, I'm telling you. Nothing greater. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Therefore, we also, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, what that means is people have died and went into heaven, and there's a cloud of witness, and I don't understand it totally, but the reality is we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance, perseverance, the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He's given you the remedy of discouragement and weariness and how to endure and persevere right here. How? Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Remember knowing him? It's all through the scripture, everywhere we go. It's the remedy. What happens when you look at your circumstances? Well, I'll tell you what happens when I look at my circumstances. I get overwhelmed. What happens when I look at other people? I get mad. What happens when I look at myself? I get depressed. But what happens when I get my eyes on Jesus? I'm at rest. Doesn't he bring calm and peace and love and joy into your life? I'm running the race, and I'm looking at circumstances, and I trip and I fall. I'm running the race, I'm looking at other people, and they trip me, and I fall. I'm running the race, and I'm looking at myself, and I trip on my own feet and fall. But you know what? If I'm running the race and I'm looking unto Jesus, man, he sustains me. Amen? That's what the Bible would tell us. Keep your focus on Jesus. That's the remedy. And then he says in verse 3, just consider him in the matter of your life. Consider it. He gives us endurance. Colossians chapter 3. If and since, that Greek word could be if then, could be since, because you're already born again. And since you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on this earth. And that's looking unto Jesus. Where are your thoughts? Do you want to persevere? Do you want to endure in this life? You got to set your mind on things above. I do. Because you died and your life is hidden in God with Christ, who is our life. Christ, our very life. He lives his life in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. Keep our eyes on Jesus. He'll give us endurance. Philippians 1, 6, it's your last verse in the outline. Being confident of this very thing. Listen. Being confident of this very thing. Listen, being confident of this very thing. That he who started a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why do we have endurance? Because he's gonna do it. He's gonna do it in you. So I want to encourage you today with all of this. I need endurance for the race that God has given me. You need endurance for the race he's given you. I need endurance to be a soldier, to fight the good fight of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring it to this community. I need the endurance. I need the endurance to be a good farmer, to till the soil, to fertilize it, to plant, to water, to see lives grow and flourish. I need endurance. You do too. And God provides it by His Holy Spirit. That's the message. I hope it encourages you. Because it's God who finishes all His work that He begins. The same power He gave His Son as His Son walked on earth to finish His race. God doesn't have a problem with perseverance. He can persevere. He has the ability. Our human weakness, we don't have it. But that's where He comes in. He gives strength and He lives in you. Jesus on earth was our example. He depended on the Father and He finished. He said it is finished. When He died on the cross, He did His work. And He wants to do that in you. Whether you're young or old, here, healthy or sick, male or female, you were designed to know God. That's where we began. Knowing Jesus is why you were created. Why are you alive? Because you were designed and created to know Jesus Christ. To know Him and to love Him. You were made to have a relationship with God. You're knowing that in your soul right now. You're sensing that's right. Well, how do you start a relationship with God? Number one, you got to realize that you've blown it. Just admit it. We already know it. You know it. I know it. You've sinned. That means you're not perfect. You fall totally miserably short of being that good person. Unless you're a Pharisee and think you are. The Bible says no one is good, not even one, not even you. Includes you, puppy dog. No one is good. This is because we cannot become who we're supposed to be without Jesus Christ. Just deal with it and admit it. Number two, recognize that equals separation from God all eternity in a place called hell because you have failed to live a perfect life. The penalty of sin is eternal death. But God so loved you, the whole world, that He sent His only Son, that if you believe in Him, to die. That so instead of you dying, Jesus was crucified, nailed to a cross, bleeding, put in a tomb for 3 days to make sure He was dead. But death couldn't hold Him. He rose again from the dead. You deserve that death, but He took it in your place. Well, that's love. Despicable sinners that hated God and spit on Him. He said, no, I love you and I'm going to die for you. Isn't that beautiful? Recognize He died on the cross, that He showed His great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's the good news. I told you the bad news. Yeah, you're a sinner. Good news is, Jesus died for that sin and paid the penalty. He paid that debt that He didn't owe because you owe a debt you couldn't pay. You're going to like you're going to pay the debt of eternal death. He paid it. The Bible says the remedy for that sin and to find eternal life is to turn away, to say, forgive me, God, I admit it, forgive me, and then I do an about face. I turn around my life by faith. And then you know what he does? Broop, the Holy Spirit comes in you. And you're empowered. And all that works in a mystery, theologically, doctrinally. We can look at the fine points and split hairs on that. But the reality is, you must be born again. Receive Jesus Christ into your life, not just knowing a creed or going to church. It's allowing Christ to take residence in your life. It's as if he's right now, where you're sitting, everybody listening, he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. And if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you would like to know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, I want you to pray with me. I invite you. If you're saying, yeah, Pastor, pray for me, I want that. I'm going to give you an opportunity. So think about what you're going to do right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray to receive Jesus Christ. Let's all bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Father, we'd all pray. And in a posture of prayer, no one looking around. Is anybody here would like me to pray for them to receive Jesus Christ, to become a Christian this morning? Anybody want forgiveness of sins? Lift your hand up. I want to see your hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. No one's looking around. You don't have to be embarrassed. Lift your hand and say, yes, I want Jesus. And if you lifted your hand, say, dear Lord Jesus, I want you to pray this out loud. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. I turn away from that sin. I open the door of my heart for God. Forgive me. And now just say thank you. Welcome those that prayed. You're in the family of God. That's all it took. Your step of faith, your willingness to receive Christ. We've got a free Bible for you if you prayed that prayer. So let's take this moment now and let's all stand and let's worship him.